America weekend.
Carl, I want to do a little soliloquy here.
Okay.
Some longtime friends, 50 years in my life, came to visit not too long ago at my home. I hadn't seen them in over maybe a year or two. And they came with strengths and resolves and memories to share with my wife and I about our lives together. And I got thinking about friendship. And you know, friendship doesn't matter how long ago it began or even if it was just yesterday. It only matters that in the love that it shares, not in the length of time.
Absolutely.
Friendship is the ability, as I see it, to tolerate disagreements with laughter. It's acknowledging the grace of difference with respect and courtesy. It's an internal awareness that you've been together before life began and perhaps a knowing that you'll be together again after this life finishes.
And we all shall.
Yeah. And I think there's also a fragrance, Carl, in friendship. There's a shared cadence of the heart, both the heart within and the heart that we find in spirit. Friendship is that eternal proof that love exists beyond family and choices and circumstance.
Agreed, agreed, agreed.
Thanks for letting me pontificate here.
Well, I believe in all of what you said. You know, the remarkable thing about of what we do for a living is that we have the good graces and the ability to be able to pontificate. And one of our listeners said, I appreciate the opportunity to listen because when you do, you are saying what I am thinking, which I think is very nice.
Yes, that is. That's a testimony.
Yeah, it's a wonderful compliment. It really is. And what you have just said, I guarantee you, many of us who are plus 40,
keep going. Plus 40. Where are you coming off with this plus 40 stuff?
Because somehow 50,
plus 40.
In other words, somehow 50 doesn't count.
The last time you saw 40, Truman was in power.
Or possibly Roosevelt. I'm not sure. Anyway, it really is remarkable in many ways. When you talked about this about a month and a half ago, you made a similar statement about taking time to smell the roses.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And when you take the time to smell the roses, okay, in the mornings, I love listening to the doves, the morning doves.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where I am, particularly here in the Northeast. I don't know if they're outside the Northeast corridor, but in the Northeast, morning doves when they wake you up in the morning. There's a certain
That cooing.
It goes in my ears, and I could listen to them all morning
it's
long.
It's truly almost mystical.
It is. But they find me, and I love when they find me.
And do you know that doves mate for life?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
They just seem to be there. And sometimes to wake you, I remember talking to a woman who was, I always watched her walking her dog in the morning. She has a beautiful, beautiful white German shepherd. Magnificent, female, magnificent. Simba is her name. And she said to me, the dog always comes to that same spot to just stop and listen to the doves. Because it's right next to my back window, and I could see them on the corner on an angle. And there they are, standing there every morning, listening to the doves. I think that's remarkable. She said, we get such a peace.
Well,
that's just remarkable.
I think that if more people listen to singular sounds of nature or the collective sounds of nature,
yes,
just by a walk, particularly in the woods,
yes,
or it can be along a residential street,
sure,
you'll hear nature anywhere. And if you take the time, though, Carl, to let it filter into the essence of what it is you are, it'll bring you a peace that nothing else can touch.
And there's the magic word, the time. The people just simply don't want to take that time, as if we've almost shut out the listening part of our life. I watched my little one. We just had some guests here earlier with a little boy, and it amazes me how some young children have learned at this age. I don't know whether that's just a trend or whatever it may be, to take the time to listen. And that's the most remarkable thing. Wisdom comes from listening, not talking. Mm-hmm. It comes from absorbing and putting it all into play. And when you listen, there is learning. It's not when it's coming out, it's coming in. And we don't do very, very much of that anymore.
Or take the time. I mean, I've told this story on our show a number of different times, but I'm going to tell it briefly.
Please tell it again.
Well, years ago, I'm watching on a balcony of an apartment building overlooking a very magnificent rose garden in kind of like a semi-public park. And I watched this gentleman in a three-piece suit carrying a briefcase walking up the divide between two parts of the rose garden. Mm-hmm. He got to the middle of the two pieces of rose garden and stopped suddenly, put his briefcase down and just looked, stared for what seemed to me an inordinate amount of time.
It wasn't just a glance.
No, but he picked up his case and put it over toward the side, and then he stepped across a little tiny fence. It couldn't have been more than 6 inches, 7, 8, 10 inches tall, and put his hands down. And I thought, my God, he's not going to pick one of these things. I hope it was in pride. He cradled the rose for a moment in his hands.
Remarkable.
And then it got an aroma of the fragrance,
mm-hmm.
and let go of it, stepped across the thing, didn't injure anything, and then went on his way.
Shall we say a passage in time?
Sure.
A moment to remember. I remember some of those moments to this day in my life, where you grab that moment, wherever it may be. I think I told the story once before. I had gone down to Puerto Rico with a lady friend of mine many, many years ago. And we were doing our festivities and so on. And we were walking along a inlet. And I saw this pier that jetted out into the ocean. It went out about a good 150, 200 feet. No one was there. I walked out there. I said, I'll be back in a moment. I walked out there. And I stood there. And as the wind comes up at you, that magnificent Caribbean mm-hmm. wind at mm-hmm. night, and it just blew up at me, and I was there just staring at it. I thought it was for moments. She said to me, I was out there for a half an hour. I don't even know it. Mm-hmm. I totally lost sense of my personal physical being. It was wonderful.
Well,
I remember that to this day.
Shakespeare said, quote, one touch of nature makes the whole world kin.
That's true.
And I think that there's a truth to that.
Absolutely.
It's almost an aphorism.
We don't do enough of it. We don't show our children how to. And I'm wondering, is that a learned experience or is that just part of the makeup?
No, I think it's a cultural deficiency that we have today. I agree with Richard Louv, who has been a guest on our program.
Yes, he has.
Who wrote a book called The Last Child in the Woods. And I agree with him. We are fast approaching a generation where no child will have spent any time at all outdoors. They won't even know what it is. And that, to me, is unconscionable.
I agree. And I'm kind of hoping in every part of human history, there is always a turning, there's always a change. And I'm hoping that there is. And if you look back over history since the dawn of this millennia, there is a change, and maybe we're heading for that, I'm hoping.
Well, nature can change hatred into appreciation.
Yes.
A quick example. Back before Yosemite was ever discovered, some local Indians had raided a California settlement, and a posse was chasing them up into what they thought where they were from was into the Yosemite Valley. These men had never been there before. This posse had never been there before. And when they saw the grandeur of El Capitan and other things, they immediately forgot about what they were doing there. And they camped for a day or so and came back to tell the world of this magnificent place, this garden of nature up there that was just so phenomenal.
I've never been there. You know, it's a dream.
Oh.
Someday. Oh, someday.
It's a must.
Someday I've got to go. I've got to, it's on my...
Especially with your child.
Oh, on that bucket list. Someday. Someday. But I've seen pictures of it. And even on the pictures, I can just stare. I've seen paintings of it that were just magnificent. Large murals. Unbelievable. Someday. Someday. Well, and we will continue, Roland.
Well, you know, you can walk down into Yosemite Valley from the top of Mammoth Mountain. It takes about 3 or 4 days, but it's a great hike. But you have to camp.
Yes,
and,
of course.
And all that sort of stuff. But it's truly a magnificent trip down through Yosemite Valley.
You have me there right now in a moment, in a blink, and an eye. I am there. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith as we, shall we say, we sashay through this particular segment of the
you
broadcast.
You can sashay. I will sit here and just watch.
We're back.
America Weekend.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.